Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, it's just the theater of the absurd, but what else would we expect out of Hollywood when you look at just the failures leading up to and through these fires in Los Angeles? The theater of the absurd when you learn about the woke DEI policies that put their fire department leaders in place, the DEI garbage being pushed by this mayor of L.A., and look, hey, it's one thing if you're on the other side of the world for a previously scheduled trip and then disaster strikes, although apparently there were warnings. William LaJeunesse, who lives in L.A. for Fox News, he was saying, no, they knew days in advance that they had a nasty wind that was in the forecast. They knew that they had dangerous fire conditions. So she was warned, but yet she still went to, what was it, Ghana? What was she doing there? I mean, it wasn't even like a family vacation. It was like, oh, I want to look like I'm some big hot shot. I want to pretend that I'm the Secretary of State or the President of the United States when you're just the mayor of Los Angeles, for Pete's sake. So she was warned, but then just look at the disastrous response as well. It's just the theater of the absurd. But again, what else would you expect from Hollywood? Hey, for your random start here this morning on the show, first off, happy Friday to you. Happy Freedom Friday to those of you out there. And yeah, as Grandpa Lou would tell us, Red Friday as well. Remember, everybody deployed. People are still deployed. People are still deployed. You know, it's people, how quickly everybody can forget, right? But man, for your random start here on this Friday, speaking of the woke DEI nonsense out of Los Angeles, the DailyCaller.com has a couple of just epic headlines this morning. This one, anyway, a little inside baseball. So a few minutes ago, normally I try to print as I see a story of interest, I'll print it up. It'll go in the stack of stuff. Our producer, Caden, he'll see stuff. It'll go in the stack of stuff. And then eventually here in a few minutes, coffee first, then we'll pick up the sack of stuff. Eventually we'll get to it, right? But anyway, I just ran out of time. I was like, holy cow, I got like six articles I got to print here. And man, I'm about to be on the air. So I'm sending these headlines to Caden real fast on my email. Hopefully I hit send on the email. There was something yesterday I forgot to even hit send on. But anyway, here's one of the headlines from the DailyCaller.com. Let's be honest. Los Angeles's LA's fire chief is unqualified to lead. Man, there is this video that John Jackson, the Joker from X, who joins us every Tuesday, shared where I don't know if it was her or if it was another one of the lesbianist fire leaders in LA who was basically talking about how, like, hey, maybe I can't carry your man out of a fire, but he shouldn't have got himself in that position in the first place. What? I mean, let's be honest. This is just freaking insane. They had another one. Gay choirs, transgender cafes, and social justice art. What Los Angeles spent money on while cutting its fire budget. The theater of the absurd.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies early on, followed by some increasing clouds later on in the day today. High temperature readings will stay in the upper 30s to around 40 degrees. As we head into tonight, we're going to see cloudy skies. Along with that, some chances for rain and snow showers. Turning over to snow showers overnight. 1 to 3 inches possible in Bozeman, lesser amounts in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
After the New Year's terrorist attack, which killed 14 people on Bourbon Street, the city of New Orleans is taking steps to try and prevent future incidents at February's Super Bowl, March's Mardi Gras, and in the years to come. New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell.
Doubling down how we can improve, again, to make our city safer.
New Orleans is partnering with former L.A. Police Chief and New York Police Commissioner Bill Bratton. His task.
How can we identify problems that need to be addressed.
He says the goal is to learn from what took place on New Year's and
preventing anything like that from happening again.
Bratton also says ISIS taught New Orleans and the entire country a lesson on New Year's.
The secret of terrorism was the ability to use the internet, the ability to inspire. They didn't have to be here.
He wants to establish a security platform for the city that will last for years. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, talking about these fires down in Southern California, Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy, newly sworn in senator. He's a Navy SEAL veteran. He's also an aerial firefighter. He weighed in with some incredible interviews on Laura Ingraham's show on Fox News. Plus, he was on with Mark Levin right here on this radio station. If you missed either of those interviews, check out our Montana Talks podcast. And we had some of the highlights for you both in the 6 o'clock and the 8 o'clock hours of the show. Full audio on the Montana Talks app.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those, but that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah. Seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is, like, busy, you know? I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Remember, you have the keys, you have the power. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, the standoff continues. I don't know if you call it a standoff. The stand still continues. That's how, I think, Josh Margolis with NBC Montana, that's how he referred to this still ongoing rules debate in the Montana State Senate. We'll talk more about that here later in the hour. If you missed it yesterday at the end, towards the end of the show, in our statewide 9 o'clock hour of Montana Talks, we had Montana Senate President Matt Regeer on the program with us. And then, of course, later this hour, we'll get the legislative update from Jeff Lasloff. And he had great coverage of this rules debate on Thursday's program. So we'll get you an update on that front. But yeah, the standstill continues for now. That's the latest of what I gathered after the state Senate wrapped up yesterday. Okay, since we started with this story, just about the continued failures in Los Angeles, gay choirs, transgender cafes, social justice, art. Why do taxpayers need to pay for any of that stuff? I mean, if I wanted to go start a quartet tomorrow, if I wanted to start a barbershop quartet tomorrow, thankfully for you, I will not do that. You wouldn't have to put up with my bad singing, but there's some good people out there who do something just like that. Do I need to go get taxpayer funds so that I can get my barbershop quartet up and running? Hey, click my fingers. Hey, yeah, thanks for the money. If I want to start a cafe tomorrow, do I need to get the city's money to go start my cafe? Well, if it's a transgender cafe, yes. What? I mean, there's a coffee shop in Great Falls. Last time I walked past it, nobody was inside, but they had no customers anyway. They had a big transgender flag out in front of it. Wow, that looks like a transgender cafe. I don't think they needed city taxpayer money to get up and running with their trans cafe, but apparently in LA you do. Social justice art. Hasn't art always been used as a form of, political commentary or social commentary, social justice, if you want to call it that? But wait, did they need, did they need taxpayer funds to do their social justice art? Yeah, these are things that Los Angeles, the dailycaller.com is a great report here. The city of Los Angeles cut funding for their fire department. I think it was like $17 million. Oh, yeah, here we go. The numbers are in here. The city of Los Angeles cut funding for its fire department and allocated thousands of dollars to various progressive programs, including a midnight stroll transgender cafe and a gay men's chorus. I was like, isn't that just any other day on Broadway? I mean, come on. Fires swept through Southern California on Wednesday, destroying hundreds of homes in Los Angeles County, and high winds only fueled the destruction. The Democrat mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, was slammed for slashing the Los Angeles Fire Department's budget by $17.6 million for fiscal year 2024 to 2025. You know, we raised the question yesterday. I think it was Christina Wong, the Breitbart News national security correspondent, who said, "You know, I'll bet you there's a lot of people in Los Angeles who are going to be red pilled by this whole event." I mean, think about it. Think about how bad Los Angeles was before this week. And yet, look at all those people who still voted for a Democrat mayor, who still voted for Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom. Look at all these people that still just voted for these things, that even though they see their lives are destroyed by this addiction to the Democrat Party, they're slapping their forearm, wrapping the band around their bicep, and they're giving themselves another hit of the Democrat Party. Will this be the wake-up call that people, I mean, my goodness. But back to that point, John Jackson, the Joker from X, he shared, well, I may not have that audio yet. Stand by for that one. We might still be snagging that one. But yeah, there was this video of this lesbian woman, you know, bragging about, oh, no, here it is right here. Let's see, LAFD. Okay, this is Christine Larson. So there's apparently three lesbians named Kristen or Christine or Christina. I don't, it's like three of them with a similar first name that are in these senior leadership positions of the Los Angeles Fire Department. Yay, look at us. Look at how great we are. Look at how woke we are. Look at all these lesbians we got running our fire department. And look, no matter what your lifestyle is, what you do in your personal life, like, hey, you know, do your own thing. But this idea that what you do in your bedroom is what qualifies to pull somebody out of their bedroom when their house is on fire is totally freaking insane. Listen to this video. And pay particular attention in the last 5 seconds of this 25-second video.
You want to see somebody that responds to your house, your emergency, whether it's a medical call or a fire call, that looks like you. It gives that person a little bit more ease, knowing that somebody might understand their situation better. Is she strong enough to do this? Or you couldn't carry my husband out of a fire, which my response is, he got himself in the wrong place if I have to carry him out of a fire.
Did you hear that? Which my response is, well, he got himself in a wrong place if I need to carry him out of a fire. Yeah, anybody who's in a fire is in the wrong place, whether naturally or, I mean, the gall of this woman to sit here and say, well, you know, it really comforts people when, you know, their house is on fire to see somebody who looks like them. Yeah, I'm sure if your house is on fire, you're not sitting there thinking, oh, come on. Some white guy showed up to pull me out of my burning bedroom. Where's the black lesbian woman to pull me out of my bedroom when my house is on fire? Like, that's the first thing people are thinking here. My goodness. The freaking theater of the absurd. But again, why should we be surprised with what we see out of Hollywood?
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
When is your vehicle a threat to the community? Generally when it hits something or somebody. That's why we have licenses to drive, rules on how to drive, and consequences for those who don't obey them. There are also plenty of rules and regulations about the vehicles themselves, covering everything from headlights to airbags. But vehicle height has mostly escaped that regulation, and since 78% of new passenger vehicles these days were light trucks rather than cars, that height has been increasing, and the number of pedestrian deaths caused by collisions has been increasing as well. A new study gives strong evidence that the two trends are not a coincidence. The study looked at front-end height specifically with 3,400 crashes and estimated the likelihood of fatality went up by 22% for every 10-centimeter increase in front-end height. It's easy to understand why, both from reduced visibility for the driver and the higher point of contact with the pedestrian who struck. I'm Patrick Barkey.
brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Expect President-elect Trump to pardon more than 1,500 people charged with crimes after they stormed the Capitol more than 4 years ago when Congress met to certify the election results on January 6, 2021. The probe of the Capitol riot is the largest federal investigation in U.S. history. GOP Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene lamented that some of those convicted have been sentenced to years in jail. More than 1,200 people have pleaded guilty or been convicted after trials in connection with January 6th. More than 650 received prison time, ranging from a few days to 22 years. Police officers who defended the Capitol are especially incensed about possible pardons. Many officers were beaten, some with their own weapons, as they tried to hold back the mob. 140 officers were injured on January 6th. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan supports some pardons, but not for those who committed violence. Congressional Democrats warn that the pardons could have far-reaching consequences, both for the rule of law and the security of the country. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, this week, potato growers are in the Sunshine State attending the Potato Expo 2025 in Orlando. And that's where you'll find our network's Lane Nordland as well. In fact, this week, he caught up with a few farmers from Western Ag Network country.
The final day of Potato Expo 2025 starts here in just a little bit here in Orlando, Florida. Bob Mativi, a Monte Vista, Colorado farmer, is president of the National Potato Council, who hosts the annual event.
Well, the value, I think, for everyone in the industry is just the opportunity to come together, see what's new, visit with old friends, you know, that just that camaraderie that gets established between industry and growers. I think it's just a valuable time together.
Susan Lake and her husband Jack, owners of Lake Farms in Ronan, Montana, are attending their first Potato Expo.
Well, I like the tractors, but the irrigation was the big one that really jumped out at me, because I'm always thinking about water. And like I said, with our irrigation project on the reservation and worrying about how much water there's going to be, I think water's huge. I think the fertilizers piece is huge. And there's new innovative things. We're listening to somebody talk about calcium and nitrogen and how to apply that and how it keeps water. We also need to figure out how to keep our nitrogen in the top layer of our soils so that we're not wasting it and they're not talking about us. So those things, to just stay abreast of the industry and stay ahead of the ESA, hugely important.
A lot of innovation and conversations about the future of the U.S. potato industry this week in Orlando. I'll send it back to you, Russ.
All right, thanks a lot, Lane, and safe travels back home this weekend. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Superior Livestock Auction welcomes you to Oklahoma City for the 2025 Bell Ringer Sale. Join us January 8th through the 10th at the Embassy Suites OKC Downtown, held in conjunction with our Rep Awards celebration on the 10th. The Bell Ringer is a great opportunity to market your cattle to our nationwide buyer base. For more details, to consign or get a buyer's number, log on superiorlivestock.com or call 800-422-2117.
As a ranch wife, mom, and nurse, my checkoff dollar provides education, research, and nutritional information for the consumer of the products we love to produce.
For my beef checkoff dollar, I get to help consumers feel confident in eating beef as part of a healthy diet.
My checkoff dollar provides hope that our ranch will remain sustainable for future generations.
This message brought to you by the Montana Beef Council and your $1 per head beef checkoff.
Well, the USDA's Farm Service Agency is reminding producers, including dairy producers impacted by the bird flu, that the deadline to apply for assistance through the ELAP program is January 30th. Now, the Emergency Assistance for Livestock, Honeybees, and Farm-Raised Fish Program funds are for losses due to specific adverse conditions that occurred in 2024. FSA Administrator Zach Ducheneau says ELAP provides an important financial safety net, helping our producers rebound from weather and disease impacts that are out of their control and not part of their operation's ordinary risk profile. Again, the deadline to apply is January 30th. For more details or to do exactly that, please contact your local USDA Service Center or visit farmers.gov. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, lots to talk about here this morning. Of course, the Montana Senate remaining at a standstill over this rules debate where 9 Republicans, it sound like, continue to vote with the Democrats. I'll talk more about that story here this morning. Meanwhile, Governor Greg Gianforte was in Mar-a-Lago with President Donald J. Trump. There was, I think, over 20 of the Republican governors were there last night, and more would have been there, but some got caught up in the snow travel, and some had their own inaugural ceremonies yesterday. But, yeah, some good audio. It was kind of cool because I watched video of the press conference, and Ron DeSantis, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, just tore in to one of these reporters. I think we've got that audio for you. But it was kind of cool. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, he was kind of like the MC for the little press conference with all these governors. So he took to the podium first, kind of gave some introductory remarks, and then he closed things up as he rang the bell, ding, as the round was over after Ron DeSantis delivered the knockout punch to one of the reporters at Mar-a-Lago. And so and the point that Ron DeSantis was making was he was talking about the fact that, like, man, If Karen Bass was a Republican, or, you know, since these were all Republican governors, if Gavin Newsom was a Republican and all this train wreck was going on in a Republican-led state, they would be having a field day attacking that governor. But he's a Democrat, so, you know, it's the let it burn strategy of the left. Anyway, we'll play that for you, and then, yeah, Governor Greg Gianforte wrap things up. One thing I want to play for you guys here in the early morning hours of the show. Yesterday, I played a lot of audio. We had Montana Senator Tim Sheehy, who's not only a Navy SEAL veteran, but he's also an aerial firefighter. He started Bridger Aerospace. He was on Mark Levin's program with some incredible remarks talking about, you know, our nation's wildfire strategy. Then he was on also with Laura Ingraham. I think we played the Laura Ingraham audio a little bit yesterday here in the 6 o'clock hour. And then later on in the 8 o'clock hour, we played the Mark Levin audio, some of that. I was finally able to track down the audio. I told you, you know, the Disney family in Libby, Montana, you know, they did our show prep for us yesterday. They were like, hey, Aaron, did you see, you know, Tim Sheehy's on with Mark Levin and a whole bunch of other great information that they shared with us. So they did the show prep for the biggest story of the day for us yesterday. But then they also told me that, hey, Sean Hannity's radio show, he was interviewing Miranda Devine of the New York Post. And she credited Donald J. Trump. She credited Montana Congressman and then Trump Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke with, hey, Trump and Zinke were telling California, they were working with California, here's what you got to do to prevent these massive wildfires. And the left targeted Zinke. They wanted him out, came up with a bunch of BS allegations. And briefly, at the very end of the 9 o'clock hour yesterday, before we wrapped up the show altogether, because we had such a packed agenda, we had Senate President Matt Regeer, we had Representative Kerry Seekins-Crowe, both from the Montana legislature, then we had a great guest from the Alliance Defending Freedom, and then we had the Montana Farm Bureau wrapping up the hour. So, but I did sneak this one in here. Here you go. This is from Sean Hannity's program on Wednesday, talking with Miranda Devine from the New York Post. Okay, let me see. Why is this not wanting to play for me all of a sudden? Here we go.
You know, why not remove the brush that, as you rightly point out, is the kindling for these fires that allows it to burn the way it does? You know, you can also clear out, you know, certain areas and create barriers so that when even Santa Ana winds, which can go as high as 80 plus miles per hour, you know, are pushing the fire in directions all over the place, where it, you literally have, you know, an area where you can stop a fire from spreading, and yet all of this is rejected because of you know, endangered species, environmental radicalism.
Exactly. And their excuse is they say, oh, it's not our fault. It's not management. It's climate change. That's always their excuse. And so they double down. And, you know, this was easily preventable, and that every single person who has lost property should be suing the state of California. Donald Trump in 2018 and his Interior Secretary at the time, Ryan Zinke, pointed out that the green mentality had caused California's conflagrations then, back in 2018 when it was also a disaster. And Donald Trump said there's no reason for these deadly and costly forest fires in California except that forest management is so poor. What happens? Ryan Zinke gets thrown out on some bogus corruption scandal, and then because he was green enemy number one, of course, and Gavin Newsom and co just completely ignored Donald Trump.
Yeah, there you go. Spot on commentary there by Miranda Devine. And as I mentioned yesterday, she is the one who's literally written the book on the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden corruption scandal. Okay. Yeah, well, I knew you early risers would appreciate hearing that as well. And again, thanks to the Disney family in Libby for flagging that one for us. And then we were thankfully we were able to work our sources and track that audio down. All right, Bob and Anaconda, stand by. Looking forward to hearing from you. We got Bob and Anaconda wanting to weigh in on the fires. Bob, you will be first up right after the break. So excited to hear your thoughts this morning. Thanks so much for calling in. Let's see. And Jesse Waters with another stellar segment last night. Let's see. He kind of summed it all up here in a couple of minutes. He played some Joe Rogan sound bites. Joe Rogan had Mel Gibson on his podcast. He quoted Adam Carolla. Anyway, talking about the L.A. mayor, the woke DEI garbage, and so much more. So we'll get to that. But first, Bob and Anaconda on the phone lines. And I got a bunch of messages on the app as well.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's go right into the phone lines here. Bob and Anaconda, hopefully you were able to stick with us through the break there. Bob, what's on your mind this morning? Thanks for calling in.
Bob? Good morning, Aaron.
Yeah, good morning.
Bear with me. I've got the same sore throat crud you have, so bear with me. But hey, having a couple of house fires in my family in past, I can be sympathetic to those in California. It's devastating. However, hopefully we take this as a learning measure, because our forests in Montana are a wreck. We need some serious forest management. The critters can't even get through the forest. They're so bad and thick with blowdown and underbrush and everything. It's time to do some serious cleanup. And when we have one of the only sawmills in the state, for the last month or so, only taking one load of logs from each producer a day, it doesn't work out. The math don't work out. We have a lot of cleanup to do, and hopefully some people, you know, on the other side of things will start realizing this, and we can start managing some forests and harvesting some good timber.
No, you're exactly right.
And that's pretty much all I...
Well, you know, you're exactly right, Bob.
You know,
thanks for the call.
I spend a lot of time in the forest, Aaron, and yeah,
bye. Oh, I was going to say, if you got more to share, go ahead, Bob. Okay, all right. I thought that was the only point you wanted to make there, but no, yeah, we would have been happy hearing more. Well, we appreciate hearing from you, Bob. Feel free to call back in anytime. Bob and Anaconda listening to KXTL here in the early morning hours of Montana Talks. Yesterday, we had a bunch of great messages roll in. I was so busy that, you know, with guests and ripping and roaring through different topics, that I wasn't able to get to a lot of the messages. Well, I was able to read a lot of them. I just wasn't able to get to a lot of them on air with the callers and more that we had rolling in. But KC and Bozeman sent this message yesterday morning. One of these days, this fire that's going on in California is going to happen in Bozeman, but not to that magnitude. if we don't curtail the homeless in this town, not to mention the trailer trash campers on every side road. Speaking of a potential fire near Bozeman, I mean, remember when there was a proposed timber harvest? Actually, it wasn't just a timber harvest. It was a fuels reduction effort. In other words, it was a how do we reduce the fuels that fuel the fires effort. And remember, it was up in the mountains south of Bozeman that they were, they were doing this. And remember, the radical environmentalists were opposing that fuels reduction efforts. And you had people saying, wait, the reason why they are doing this fuel reduction effort is because if a fire whips through that area, it could take away the water supply for the city of Bozeman. And so, again, another wake-up call to if you live in Bozeman and like the people of Los Angeles, you keep voting for these liberals, you keep voting for these Democrats, you keep giving your money to these radical environmental groups, you are feeding the animal that is one day going to turn around and bite you. If they haven't already, mark our words on that front. You are feeding the animal that is going to turn around and bite. Well, they're already taking a bite out of your hide with property taxes and everything else because the bulk of what you're paying for crazy property taxes because of the crazy liberal city government and the crazy liberal county commission that you're dealing with right now. But what's the big issue in Los Angeles right now? Water. Oh, we didn't have enough water. You had two record years of water. What did you do with the water that you got? Oh, we tore down the dams and because of this smelt, this little smelt fish thing. And we tore down the dams. Look at how great we are. And we put that water in the ocean. Well, what the heck were you? Anyway, but I'm telling you, you guys, like, we can sit here and look to Los Angeles. Oh, the mayor this and the governor this and blah, blah, blah. But like, if you're in Bozeman right now, look to your city commission, look to your county commissioners. More importantly, look to all of these wacko left-wing groups that you give your money to. Not all of you, because some of you. These environmental wacko groups that always file these lawsuits. The Democrat Party that puts judges in place to give them money when they file these lawsuits. They're trying to do the same thing to the Gallatin Valley that they've done to the Valley Girls in Southern California. All right, anyway, Bob, thanks for that call. Let's see. Here we go. Jesse Waters, Joe Rogan, Mel Gibson, Adam Carolla, all in one clip here. And I forget what this clip specifically focused on. I think it's focused on the L.A. mayor, the wokeness and more. But I remember watching it earlier this morning. I was like, wow, this is powerful.
The mayor can't even tell people where to get help during an emergency. Who was in charge when Bass was in Africa? This is the deputy mayor, Brian Williams. But he's been placed on leave because he's under investigation for calling in a bomb threat to City Hall, where he works. It's like he was trying to get out of taking a test. So who was in charge during the early hours of the worst fire in LA history? It's like the White House. No one knows who's in charge there either. This is so embarrassing. It's aggravating. This country has hit rock bottom. These are the leaders we voted for. It can't get any worse than this. The mayor can't communicate. The governor can't get water to a fire. That's California politics, though. You pay 13% state income tax, and they can't put out a fire. Where's the money going?
They spent $24 billion last year on the homeless.
Yeah.
And what do they spend on preventing these wildfires?
Zero.
Zip.
Zip. And in 2019, I think Newsom said, I'm going to take care of the forests and maintain the forests and do all that kind of stuff. He didn't do anything.
And then on top of that, they cut the water off.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's all funny. And then I think all our tax dollars probably went for Gavin's hair gel.
And then he gets on TV and pretends like everything's great.
Mm-hmm.
And California's the best. We have the best state. We have the most amazing economy. I'm like, you're out of your f***ing mind, dude. You've ruined this state. Ruined it.
People and businesses have been fleeing California for years. Now you understand why. They have a drug, crime, homelessness problem. But if you're a wealthy California liberal, it doesn't affect you. Inflation doesn't bite. The migrants keep your lawns nice. Crime doesn't get through your gates. You drive right by the homeless. Your money makes you immune from liberal governance. Until now.
All these people who were deep blue Democrats are now going to have to pull a permit to rebuild. And they're going to get the 28-year-old from the Coastal Commission telling them to go off. And then they're going to vote for Trump or whoever's Trumpian next. They're going to find out. They're going to get bit by their own snake. They're going to convert. I am telling you, these are the bluest people on the planet, and they're going to be ripped when the city and the Coastal Commission tell them to off.
Yeah, there you go. That was what another stellar segment by Jesse Water. Beep, beep, beep. The nice thing is it already had the beeps in there for us, so we didn't have to get creative with our own editing. But yeah, I mean, that's what a great point that Adam Carolla makes there, which is like, okay, you see the failures of the federal government with the open borders, with the mismanaged federal land. They see the failures of California state government. But now, when they go to rebuild, they get to really see up close and personal the failures of local government in these blue cities to an even greater extent. You lost your big mansion there, Hollywood liberal. You might have the cash to rebuild. The tragedy is like everyday folks don't have the cash to rebuild, but you might have the cash to rebuild, and now you might just get a taste of what that looks like. By the way, Adam Carolla also in another post on X that went kind of viral, he was talking about, I think we had the clip queued up yesterday, I could probably re-rack it for you, but anyway, Adam Carolla was talking about how when he was younger or a few years ago, he wanted to be a firefighter. You think about this now fairly popular comedian. He wanted to be a firefighter. And so he applied, and they said, well, you can apply, but you know what? You're a white man, so you're probably going to have to, you can come in and take the test, but really you're going to have to come back in like 7 years and take the test because you're a white man, and we don't need white men. We're trying to, DEI this stuff around here. That's the DEI woke nonsense has been going. This political correctness has been going on since the 90s when I was a kid, and Carolla saw it firsthand. So 7 years later, he says he shows up to take the test to be a firefighter again. And there's a young a black woman sitting next to him, and he asked her. He said, "When did you apply to be a firefighter?" And then to ask to take this test, she's like, "Oh, I applied on Wednesday." He had to wait 7 years to take the test. She called on Wednesday. They're like, "Oh yeah, we'll see you Friday." I mean, this is just the racism that you're seeing, and the results of their racism on full display of these liberal leftists in LA, right in front of our very eyes. All right, we should have the legislative update. Yeah, we will, right after this.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
President Trump reinforced the criticism of this. Fire is spreading rapidly for 3 days with zero containment. It took forever for them to call up the guard, for crying out loud. Nobody's ever seen such failed numbers before. Gross incompetence by Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass. And Biden's FEMA has no money, all wasted on the new green scam. L.A. is a total wipeout. I mean, it's now so nightmarish, fueled by these high winds, unmanaged brush, lack of basic, simple, common sense fire management, forestry management. It could be the most costly in history, but by the time this is all said and done.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
All right, you said bye-bye to big government and you want limited government. You voted for that. Well, now it's time to trim the fat from big wireless. If you are still using the big carriers, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, I ask, why are you doing that? Because my cell phone company, Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, gives you the exact same service. They use the same cell towers. You get the same 5G network. You get better customer service. And they're based here in the U.S. And you pay half the price for the exact same thing. And that's right. There's simply no need to spend $85, $100 a month per person on your wireless bill. Not when you can get unlimited talk, text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot for just $35 a month. And by the way, the average family of four saves about $1,000 a year with Pure Talk. Make the switch. You simply dial #250, say the keyword, save now, do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250, keyword, save now, from our friends at Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies early on, followed by some increasing clouds later on in the day today. High temperature readings will stay in the upper 30s to around 40 degrees. As we head into tonight, we're going to see cloudy skies. Along with that, some chances for rain and snow showers. Turning over to snow showers overnight. 1 to 3 inches possible in Bozeman, lesser amounts in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, talking about these fires down in Southern California, Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy, newly sworn in senator. He's a Navy SEAL veteran. He's also an aerial firefighter. He weighed in with some incredible interviews on Laura Ingraham's show on Fox News. Plus, he was on with Mark Levin right here on this radio station. If you missed either of those interviews, check out our Montana Talks podcast. And we had some of the highlights for you both in the
service where people get healthy.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas and Saunas Live Well, Feel Better Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, hey, keep the calls coming, but call back later on in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, because here every day through the remainder of the Montana legislative session at this exact same time, we're going to play the legislative update from Jeff Laszloffy and the Montana Family Foundation. Very insightful update here. Once again, here you go.
Yesterday, we talked about the soft coup that has led to a stalemate and de facto shutdown of the Montana Senate. The train wreck came as the result of a group of disgruntled Republicans led by Senator Jason Ellsworth, who failed in his attempt to regain the Senate presidency, hijacking the rules and appointing themselves to the most powerful Senate committees. The move was unprecedented and was only possible by joining with all of the Senate Democrats to get the necessary votes. The Democrats were more than willing to supply the votes because it, in effect, gives them the majority in the Senate, something they were unable to achieve at the ballot box. In our previous broadcast, we talked about the fact that in politics, you can only do what you have the votes to do, and conversely, if you have the votes, you can do just about anything. We also talked about the fact that Senate leadership would be trying to secure the votes necessary to return to business as normal. Failing that, there would be an attempt at compromise. Yesterday, both strategies were attempted, and both failed. The 9 Republicans, including 3 freshmen, are unwilling to change their votes. They, at this point, are also unwilling to consider any meaningful compromise. In an emotional caucus meeting yesterday, the liberal 9 held their ground while the rest of their Republican colleagues tried to appeal to their sense of logic, duty, loyalty to the voters who elected them, Senate traditions regarding protocol and how committee assignments are made, and finally, the need to end the coup and get back to work. In the end, after several failed attempts, they called it a day. I'm sure that quiet discussions went on into the evening, and hopefully cooler heads will prevail today. All the while, Senate Democrats remain in complete control despite their 32-18 minority status, simply by supplying the votes necessary to keep the rebellion going. One can only hope that Republican voters back home are taking notice. The antics in the Senate aside, yesterday was actually a very good day. The House of Representatives is full speed ahead with committee hearings and floor action. This morning, the House Judiciary Committee will hear House Bill 121, a bill to protect women's privacy in public spaces, including restrooms, locker rooms, and shower rooms. This bill is meant to stop men who claim they are women from entering these spaces. Is this really happening? Yes, all across the nation and right here in Montana. One of the most egregious examples is a Washington man who entered the locker room of a YWCA and undressed in front of 12 and 13-year-old members of a girls' swim team. Parents were outraged, but the YWCA said they were prevented by Washington state law from doing anything about it. House Bill 121 would stop that from happening here in Montana. Ironically, just yesterday, a federal appellate court put an end to the Biden administration's attempt to rewrite Title IX to include transgender individuals. The timing could not have been better. Had the administration succeeded, boys would have been allowed into girls' locker rooms and shower rooms. This court decision will be front and center in today's hearings on the Women's Privacy Protection Bill. Best of all, the Biden administration has thrown in the towel and said there will be no appeal in the case. On Monday, we'll tell you how the hearing on House Bill 121 went, but until then, for the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofsky reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, yet another very interesting update there from Jeff Laszlofsky. And Jeff, thanks for that update. This is the one question I have. So I was reading the Lee newspaper's report this morning. Standoff in the Montana State Senate brings work to a standstill. One of these sticking points early on was this executive branch review committee, where they were specifically going to vet the bills proposed by the governor's office. I wonder if some of these senators saw that as a threat to undermine the governor, and that's why they're fighting back against some of these rules. And then my follow-up question that I'm wondering is, has that executive branch review committee now been shelved, or is the state Senate still trying to move forward with that? Anyway, a couple of questions, follow-up.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
When is your vehicle a threat to the community? Generally when it hits something or somebody. That's why we have licenses to drive, rules on how to drive, and consequences for those who don't obey them. There are also plenty of rules and regulations about the vehicles themselves, covering everything from headlights to airbags. But vehicle height has mostly escaped that regulation, and since 78% of new passenger vehicles these days were light trucks rather than cars, that height has been increasing, and the number of pedestrian deaths caused by collisions has been increasing as well. A new study gives strong evidence that the two trends are not a coincidence. The study looked at front-end height specifically with 3,400 crashes and estimated the likelihood of fatality went up by 22% for every 10-centimeter increase in front-end height. It's easy to understand why, both from reduced visibility for the driver and the higher point of contact with the pedestrian who struck. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.